Dadonov is not the only one. Like, Andre Sekera has changed his name like 7 times in the NHL. Sekera, Sekeresh, Sekera.
We had to go through the whole Chiasson thing.
And Chiasson. He's Chiasson in the States, and he's Chiasson with a nice little French roll to it. So, and even Zach Parise used to be Parise, and now he became Parise. So, you know, I don't get it. And, of course, the worst of them all, John Tavares. It's a bit of a thing for broadcasters. They want to get the names right, and people love to, you know, tweet at me saying his name is Tavares, you idiot. And I'm like, I've spoken to John
Tavares.
He says Tavares, but he also says I don't care. Either way is fine. I'm like, well, no, just tell me what you want me to say. And he's like, well, my mom says Tavares, my dad says Tavares. I'm like, you're not helping. Mm. You are not helping.
I thought, according to Joe Bowen, it's Johnny Toronto. He's gone with that way easier.
And it's Wee Willie Nylander. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Johnny, I got to ask you, though, if he is modeling the new Lululemon gear, which I really like, does that mean Johnny Tavares is automatically on the team?
No. Although it's a good point by you.
I look at that stuff automatically and I think, well, if he's modeling, he's on the team. That was just my immediate...
You're talking about the Olympic team wear.
Yeah, that's my immediate reaction, to be honest with you.
And it didn't resonate with me like that, but that makes sense, because it'd be weird you build this whole campaign about a guy, and then I'm like, last cut.
I got my gear, I'm ready.
Plane left an hour ago.
The lemon gear you want. Yeah, exactly. Right. I don't know. Yeah. Not a big point by you.
Yeah. All right, we'll get to the hockey stuff in just a second, but obviously, Mike, the biggest topic in hockey was the incredibly powerful interview given by Kyle Beach last night on TSN with Rick Westhead. You know, you were a player, you're now a broadcaster, you're an alumni of the National Hockey League. I just want to kind of get your overall thoughts on just this story as it's evolved this week, and in particular what he had to say last night.
I mean, kudos to him. Kind of the strength and courage it would have taken to do that interview. And it was riveting, and it was a gut punch, and it was tough to see someone be in so much pain still a decade later because of the damage that was done to him back then. And I guess that's where my mind goes first and foremost, to him, to the other player, to the players in Michigan, to the victims of this guy and the things that he did and how it hurt them in their lives, in their relationships, professionally, personally, everything. And how they weren't supported the way they needed to be. And I guess that's where my heart goes initially. Like, God, how could you not feel for Kyle and everybody else that's been involved as a victim? Forget about the Blackhawks and punish, like, it's just like, care about them and like, and hopefully, you know, the outpouring of support, hopefully he feels it today and won't feel so alone and not believed and all the stuff he talked about in the interview today, because you know, the hockey world, sports world, world in general, who saw that, would have a lot of compassion for him and what he's been through. That's where that goes. Then there's the disappointment of the Chicago Blackhawks, who were clearly, you know, at a moment where they were solely focused on trying to win a Stanley Cup and not taking care of somebody and dealing with something that their own, you know, HR program would have outlined they would have had to handle differently. Like, they just chose, it seems as though they chose to, you know, we'll deal with it after the end of the final. If we win, then great, and then we'll try to, we don't want to cause a stir, a distraction, whatever you might, however you want to phrase it, which is ridiculous. They put kind of winning ahead of a human, and that is unacceptable, and that's why everyone's, you know, justifiably outraged for how they reacted. It's one of those things. Sports often shows us and is glorified for showing us the best in people and in the world. And whether it's accomplishing a goal or dealing with adversity or coming together as a team or sacrificing or, you know, being courageous or whatever it might be, it's celebrated. And it should be, because like, those are things we can often try to bring into the real world, our regular life. But in many ways, sports sometimes mirrors the worst in society. And I think, you know, this kind of attitude of, you know, sweeping it under the rug, putting our own selfish goals ahead of, you know, taking care of someone else, not believing a victim of this, that's happens in society, and it certainly happened here in hockey. And I think that, you know, that's where hockey, like all sports, probably still have, not probably, absolutely has a lot of growth and change that needs to be done. And so that, like, he was let down by so many people that could have helped him, people that should have helped him. He took the right steps. He told the security guy, he told the mental coach, like, that's who you should go to. And they, and it, he should have been protected. He told the PA, and all of them turned a blind eye to it because they didn't want to deal with it. And that is, that, that has to change. That is awful then, it's the awful now.
Yeah, and JR made the point, and a good one, that, hey, how courageous he was. And I want to take you back, Johnny. I know you're a bit older, but can you imagine that this fella just come out of junior scoring 52 goals, 11th pick overall, you're up for the playoffs. Imagine back when you were 22 and you've been gone from Bowling Green right into Toronto. I know they didn't make the playoffs that year, but how would you have felt as kind of an extra player? And how, what would be the chances, I guess, that you would speak up had this happened to you at that time, where you're all of a sudden leading your living your dream, and then something like this happens to you?
Yeah, I can't even imagine. Yeah. I can't even begin to put, I mean, I'd like to think I would have said something, but I don't know. I mean, you know, your career is right there. And this is the power dynamic, because I've had this conversation with people in my life here now who say, well, how could this happen? He's a player. How could a video guy do this to him? He's like, he'd be bigger. He'd be stronger. I'm like, it's not about strength. It's about power. And he felt powerless because he, you know, his career, which he thought was so, you know, which he cared about, was threatened, and he thought was at risk if he said something or he made more noise. And he did say something. That's the thing. He did say something. You know, he didn't go to the reporter, but he took it up the proper channels, and he was let down. I think a lot of people, including potentially that one other person in Chicago, maybe, like, didn't say anything. And they would, I could see how at that age, you're so impressionable and you're so feeling as though you are at the mercy of whoever holds your dream in their hands, who can help you or hurt you achieve your dream of playing in the NHL, that a lot of young men, young women, I mean, we don't have to look far, look at the soccer, look at gymnastics, like young people who don't say anything because they chase their dream and don't want to risk that in a, and by calling people out on things they are doing wrong. I'd like to think I would have said something, but I don't know. I don't know, because time and again, we see much better athletes than me, much stronger people than me, suffer in silence because they don't want to risk their goal of achieving whatever they want to achieve athletically.
Mike, you spent a long time in the game playing it and playing it to the highest level, and now as a broadcaster and still being involved very, very heavily in the game. We spent a lot of time this morning and the last couple of days talking about the culture of hockey and how much has the culture evolved. Simmer talks about his time, you know, in the 80s and about what, you know, locker room culture, culture on the bus, junior hockey, all that stuff. How much has it changed? Has it changed a lot? And how far does it have to go to get to an even acceptable level?
I think it has changed a lot. I think Simmer could really, you know, like some of the stuff, even when I played, you know, that kind of locker room culture, that kind of, oh, you know, boys will be boys, certainly the language, certainly sensitivity to the racially charged language sensitive to the LGBTQ community, like that kind of stuff it's not as nearly as prevalent as it was. In fact, it's almost gone. Like, people don't talk like that. People don't use those words. They don't use that language. That has changed a lot. But I think that the strides where it has to go is that hockey is still kind of controlled and run by, you know, a lot of people that are friends with each other and work with each other. And, you know, I don't know if old boys network's the right, quite way to phrase it, but that kind of idea. And, you know, even seeing some of the commentary from coaches that have come around the league about this, and they, like, you know, I have nothing to say. I have a relationship with those people. They're good people. Like, it's just, that's the kind of strides, I think, the last bit more than, or not last, but part of the evolution that the league has to go through, that hockey has to go through, to make it a safer place. Like, it just has to become more accepting and welcoming. Not just accepting, welcoming to anything that is different. And that's where hockey has lagged and it has come short for years. Yeah. And it's improved, but that's where it has to get better. And like society, and if we want to be, you know, held up as something to aspire to in society, that like that is something that has to change and has to continue to get better.
Yeah, I mean, I see the commercial with PK Subban all the time, guys. I kind of chuckle because I find diversity in hockey is a bit of a joke, and it has been. But anyways, to that, Johnny, you made a great point, though. But is this as much that society has changed and the people now playing are more mature versus is it? I think hockey, to my point, has almost reacted to society versus changing society.
Yeah. Which comes first, right? Yeah. I mean, I don't think we were at the forefront of this, were we? We weren't leading this charge.
Like the CHL has done a lot of things they put in place because they had to. Because it was actually bad for business, you know, and
right.
Credit to them, had to get an education program because kids were going to school, had to stop hazing because we know it's not right, but it's bad for business.
Yeah, and yes, and I think that's part of the problem, that, you know, a lot of people that were in the position to make these decisions over the years have grown up in this kind of culture and maybe aren't as offended or don't recognize why it's so distasteful for people. But once they realize it's bad for business for whatever reason, then maybe they go down that road. I do agree. It's not we've not been the leaders in this regard, but maybe we can help going forward. But yeah, like it's part of the challenge, and I think some of that is the people that run it. Some of that is it's a similar demographic that plays it. You know. And so there are issues there that have to be dealt with as we go along.
Gary Bettman is going to meet with Joel Quenneville this afternoon. He's going to meet with Kevin Cheveldayoff on Monday. They were both said in the report that was released this week to have been in that meeting, which took place in which the details on the assault were first made known to the powers that be with the Chicago Blackhawks. It would be some conjecture on your part. We don't know intimately the intimate details, nor do we suspect that those will all be given out. But what is your kind of, if Joel Quenneville was in that meeting and whether he said anything or not, spoke up in that meeting or not, the fact that nothing was done in that moment in time, what do you think the commissioner may decide about Joel Quenneville?
Yeah, I've wrestled with it. Well, first off, I don't know why he should not have coached last night. Whatever is the outcome of today's meeting, Joel Quenneville shouldn't have coached last night. He should have been on his way to New York to have that meeting yesterday. Like, deal with it in the immediacy that this warrants and not push it back to today or Monday for Chevy or whoever. Like they pushed it back already once 11 years ago, and we saw what happened. I've wrestled with this. I mean, I if Joel Quenneville is – if he was in there, like, and apparently he was, and – whether or not he said anything, as you mentioned, I don't know. I guess I don't know. I mean, part of me thinks, yeah, he probably should not be coaching right now. He's part of his job as a coach is to take care of the people that play for him. And he didn't do that to the degree he needed to back then. But if you're the sixth most powerful person and you speak up in that bill that they, yes, take it to the cops, deal with this. We have to deal with it right away. And then you return your attention to doing your job, trusting that the people five above you will do theirs. And then you don't follow up on it because you're in the Stanley Cup final. Still unacceptable. I wrestle with it. I don't know. I don't have an absolute answer. My gut reaction is he shouldn't be running a team because He didn't do the job he needed to do to take care of the guys that he was in charge of, but it's not an easy answer, I guess, to me, because if Chevy was there and he was the fifth man down on the org chart and the people above him said they're going to deal with it, and then for 2 weeks they returned their attention to the Stanley Cup final, I could see how in that moment when you're young you would kind of let that slide and trust that people above you would take care of it. I don't know. I don't know where you guys come down on this. I've wrestled with it. I don't have an absolute answer.
Johnny, a statement I made yesterday, I've been to one Stanley Cup final and I put myself in that spot. Would you agree that if after winning that and going to the finals for the first time in forever, if an emergency meeting's called that night, you would never forget, first of all, that you were in that meeting, and you would probably not forget a lot of what was said on a sensitive subject like that.
Oh, well, the idea that Joel Quenneville hadn't heard about this before, which he said this summer, I don't buy that one bit. Now, I mean, there's nothing against the law or about lying to the media. Yeah. He's not under oath, but he wasn't truthful there. Like, he 100% knew. Like, you're not, I don't care if you're the euphoria of getting to the final. You hear about what those allegations were, you don't forget. You might, you know, 11 years later, the exact phrasing of who said what and when, but you know what happened. Like, you're not surprised by, I've never heard of these allegations. And so, I don't buy that for a second. I don't buy that for one second. And the phrase that stuck out, and if you read the report, saying, we're going to the finals, I don't want to deal with this distraction, which was kind of, something like that was attributed to Joel Quenneville. That's a tough soundbite. That's a tough quote, because that directly suggests you don't care about that as much as you care about trying to win, which is everything wrong about this situation.
Yeah, when we've been sort of hashing this out for the last couple of days and trying to imagine ourselves in that moment in time. And first of all, none of us think if what was said at that meeting, what the video coach did, no excuse that he should have been suspended, fired, on the spot, whatever. But also, I think if we're being honest with ourselves, we could totally, or I'm going to say this, I could totally see that conversation happening of, guys, we're 2 weeks away from winning the Stanley Cup here. Let's remove the video coach from this. This is a terrible situation. Mm-hmm. Let's remove him. That's important. We have to do that right now. But, when the president says, McDonough says, we'll deal with this after the Stanley Cup final, I could totally see that conversation happening 100%.
Yeah, which doesn't make it right at
all.
Like you can walk and chew gum. Like, you can play hockey and go for the Stanley Cup final, and at the bare minimum, you're like, "Hey, video coach, you no longer work here. Like, we're gonna have to investigate this, and I guess you can't fire him until you find out if it's true or not. But like, okay, you don't get to be around the team anymore. He's a video guy. Like, I don't want to diminish video guys. Like, somebody else can step in there and create freakout tapes." Or whatever he was doing in that moment. They should have taken him, minimum, taken him out away and away from the team right away. And then even guys, like, so many times, like, so whatever, the bad decision to wait 3 weeks till the season's over. Awful. And have him around. But how do you then just let him walk? We're going to have an investigation, or you can leave. Okay, I'll leave. Why would you leave? You just want to stay on the cup, or to such a pivotal piece of it. You're leaving because there's something to hide. Like that shouldn't have stopped the Blackhawks from investigating further. They shouldn't have given them that option. Like, we're not going to let you walk away and just pretend it never happened. We're going to find out what happened. I could see, unfortunately, an organization saying that we're going to remove the coach. We'll try to park the investigation or start nibbling around it, but we're going to leave the focus on the ice, which shouldn't have happened, should never happen. But that's part of the problem in sports, is win at all costs. Whether it's ignoring something like this, whether it's potentially doing damage to your physical well-being, all that stuff, which we celebrate, also at times is not the right thing to do.
Yeah, pure speculation on my part, Johnny, but I said next day Joel has a meeting, probably meets with his staff, and I also said, hey, pretty good chance you're heading to the finals. You meet with your leadership group. Do you find it, and even if it wasn't a meeting, do you find it hard to believe that Jonathan Toews didn't know anything about this and the rest of the crew?
And that's hard for me to say. Simmer, now obviously if there was a meeting, like apparently there was some jokes or poorly attempted jokes made or some words said to Kyle, whatever. So people clearly knew. But I also know in the playoffs, like, the Black Aces are not around the team. Like, you know, they're on a different schedule. You don't cross paths. You don't talk to them. They kind of hang out on their own. So it's not beyond me to think that at that moment, May 23rd, post-meeting, in the next few days prior to the final or during the final, that the players would have for sure known. I don't think so. I don't think that would be the case. Some might. And then once it kind of started leaking around, then, of course, you know how guys like to talk, and on the bus, on the plane, it would spread quickly. But if it didn't get to the main locker room, I could see them not knowing. Then I could not see them not knowing the next fall or the next summer when this no longer on the team. Like, then they're like, why is he not here? Then it would have leaked out. Then it would have come out. So I could believe in the moment, but maybe not long term.
It's an extremely troubling, all of it is just really, and we wish we could bring you on and just talk about the fun parts of hockey and, you know, even guys get, you know, wanting getting fired or whatever is for hockey stuff is, that's what we like to do. But this is an incredibly complex and ever-evolving story that I don't think we're going to hear the end of for a while now. So no time to talk about the real games. We'll do that with you. You're going to join us tomorrow because Pooley's on West Coast time, apparently needs his beauty sleep. So you're on what, Midwest time? You're going to be down in Dallas?
I'll be down in Dallas this afternoon and ready for the game tomorrow. So, yes, we'll let Pooley get his beauty rest, and I'll step in for him tomorrow.
That's a gamer right there. Mike Johnson, or as one of our texters called you, Mike Poulin. I like that Mike Poulin guy.
Michel Poulin.
Michel Poulin. We're here in Ottawa, en français. Michel Poulin, he's a good one. So he'll be back with us tomorrow. Safe travels to Dallas. Really appreciate the time and the insight this morning. We'll chat tomorrow.
All right, thanks, guys. You have a good day.